Welcome back to the Bun Sports Podcast at BunSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn, and I'm joined by the professor, college football professor, as I am throughout the year. And it's now we're in May, so we're almost in May. We're a week away from May, which will be exactly 3 months away, or 3.5 months away from the college football season getting started here, the 2015 version. And as SEC fans, we're eager to see the season get underway. And one of the key stories this offseason has surrounded these satellite camps. And for those who are unaware, basically what this is coaches and programs from other parts of the country are coming and setting up camps, like a combine, a mini combine, you might say, for athletes to test their skills at different locations. And I think the biggest rub has been with some of the Big Ten schools, namely Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan has come and set some up here in the South in Alabama. They're one in Prattville, Alabama, and several other destinations here in this region. And that has rubbed some SEC coaches the wrong way. Several of them have spoken out against it, including Hugh Freeze, Nick Saban, and several others about how these camps should not be allowed to go on here. And Jim Harbaugh responded by basically saying, you're all invited to come. Whenever you want to come, you can come and attend the camp. And there's no NCAA rule against it. The SEC has told the coaches, though, that they're not allowed to attend, even if they wanted to. So I'll bring in the professor now and ask him what his take on these satellite camps are. Are you in line with the SEC, or do you think they're probably just making too big of a deal about this?
Well, I think it's kind of both. First of all, I'm totally with the SEC on this. It's not fair that one group can do it and the other can't, and it's a way to get around some rules, loopholes, that kind of thing. It probably won't make a big difference, but if it gives some schools a competitive edge, then it should not happen. And so I just think it's infringing and it's creating problems that should not be created.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. The SEC can't do it because the SEC said it can't do it. I mean, it's its own rule, right? It's not an NCAA
That's
rule
correct.
Prohibiting them. So if the SEC wanted to change that, all they have to do is just go to the commissioner or the SEC or get the presidents in line and say, hey, look, we want to have these camps. And ostensibly, they could set up camps in other SEC states, right?
That's right. And this very well could happen. It could happen. The ACC has the same position as does the SEC. And I wouldn't be surprised if these both conferences don't say, well, you know, we don't want this because we were trying to reduce the amount of time that we were having to spend on recruiting, on player evaluation, that kind of thing. But if this is going to happen, then I guess we'll have to do it. So it's really going to create a problem, I think, and it really goes in the direction that the NCAA has been trying not to go in.
I think it also is interesting to observe this kind of paradigm shift in college football. The SEC ruled the roost for so many years and still does to a degree, but since Ohio State won the national championship and we've seen the hire of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, they've been bolder in the Big Ten and been going after more big enchilada items like this. And I think you've seen, too, a media that's kind of starting to favor the Big Ten a little bit and giving them some positive coverage in a league that's been abysmal over the years, the last few years. And if the Big Ten is at its best, we know that the Big Ten and the SEC are probably the two best leagues in football.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? The Ohio State did win the national championship this past year, but when you really look for the last 5 or 10 years, they've been really, we could just say, pitiful. But all of a sudden, you know, here they are, the new bully on the block, so to speak, and I don't think they've earned it yet.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. And I think it's going to be interesting to see this year how the Big Ten does. I know Michigan, you know, obviously a coaching change. I know they're a 3.5-point underdog in their first game against Utah, which is very interesting. I think that game's played in Utah, so that'll be very interesting to watch how they get started their season under Jim Harbaugh. Of course, you have Michigan State that's always a contender. I think they're going to be back healthy this year with a good team. Ohio State, they have Riches at quarterback. We know what they can offer. So the Big Ten, it's going to be interesting to me to see how they respond this year after a lot of positive publicity. Well, let's turn to the SEC, and you have some interesting numbers on some of the teams in the SEC and the schedules they're playing this year. As we know, you can have a really good team, but if you don't have a favorable schedule, it can be very difficult to get to Atlanta or beyond.
Well, it's very difficult to have a favorable schedule in the SEC.
That's true.
It's just that some are more daunting than others. And Jacob, it's really interesting when you look at the history of the SEC and you find out that out of the 14 teams, seven teams have a 500 or better winning average over all their history, and seven teams have a less than 500.
And who are those teams? Game.
Well, for instance, you know, Alabama and Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, they're over the 500. And then comes in teams like Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Mississippi State that are under 500. And it's interesting, Jacob, that Mississippi State has the worst, I guess you'd say, the lowest winning percentage all time in their years of existence. It might be kind of surprising that they're on the bottom. I mean, they've won 514 games and lost 549. So, and Kentucky, who's won 580 and lost 582, they're two below 500. Vanderbilt is won 572 and lost 579. They're seven below 500. But so Mississippi State's behind Kentucky and Vanderbilt by a good margin.
And you think that, and that kind of surprised you when you read that?
Yes, you would think that Mississippi State, you would have thought they had a better history than that, but it's not so good. And then when you look at championships, Alabama's won 24. Tennessee's won 13, Georgia 12, LSU 11, and then there's Texas A&M. You can understand Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Missouri,
sure.
or South Carolina has never won an SEC championship, as has Vanderbilt has never won one.
So as you look at this year and the schedules upcoming this year, what jumps off the page at you? I know you were talking to me beforehand about some of these teams and some of the teams they'll be playing. And by the way, I want to just mention, I can't remember exactly when, but it's been a long time since Mississippi State was even number one in the country. And I mean a long time. I'm talking about like decades and decades. If they may not have ever
probably
been there before.
The first time.
But this past year, of course, they had that until they got beat by Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Anyway, moving on from that, talking about these schedules this year, and you brought up the interesting, some of these, and it's because it's 14 teams now, the rotations can be really uneven.
Right.
So tell me about some of
these.
Well,
Jacob, here again, let's just say this. Is the real story how good Ohio State is or how weak their schedule is? Now, I'm just using that before we go into this SEC. They play, for instance, their non-conference, they play Virginia Tech, Hawaii, Northern Illinois, and Western Michigan. And then in their conference, they play Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers, Minnesota, Illinois. All right, now think of that. Now let's look at South Carolina, for instance, from the East. South Carolina plays in their non-conference. They play the University of North Carolina. They play Central Florida. We know Central Florida has been a really top team over the last few years. And Clemson, that's their non-conference schedule. And then they play at Georgia, at Texas A&M, at Tennessee, and at Missouri. Along with having Georgia and it's just really a tremendous schedule. Or let's look at LSU. LSU plays at Mississippi State, at Alabama, at Ole Miss, at South Carolina. They play Texas A&M, Auburn, Florida, and Arkansas at home. Now their non conference schedule is fairly easy. They play at Syracuse, and that's quite a challenge, I guess, to play in the Carrier Dome. But it just shows the difficulty that these teams play in the SEC.
It is, and if you were if the professor were looking at it, and again, what you have to go on right now, which I guess you know every team's pretty much filled out their schedule. What team would get the award this year? Would you say for the toughest schedule in college football?
Well,
in the SEC, I'm sorry.
I would have to say South Carolina.
Okay.
I mean, just looking at that. Now, you might say, well, they play in the East rather than the West. That makes it a little easier. But at the same time, they play LSU from the West. And then they play these three pretty difficult teams that is in their non-conference. I mean, Clemson, North Carolina, and Central Florida.
Yeah, I want to refer to something real quick. This is a blog posted by Phil Steele, who, of course, writes a lot of college football, interesting College Football puts out a lot of great information in his magazine and other online. This is on his blog, philstill.com. He ranked the toughest schedules, and he based it off of the win-loss percentage from last year. So these are the 2015 toughest schedules, according to him. I won't read them all, but I'll go off of some of the names that jump. Number one is Washington. Number two is Arkansas. Their foes last year were 99-57. Miami. Then Alabama comes in at number four. Alabama's were 96-58. Kentucky after that. Then I'll go down, see some more SEC teams. Auburn comes in at number ninth. Georgia at 10th. And South Carolina at 22, Tennessee 24, Mississippi State 26. So they taper off after that. Vanderbilt is up there at 29, Ole Miss in the 30s, Mississippi State at 26. I think I mentioned that, and it continues going. I don't think the SEC, I'm pretty sure they're all in the top 50 or so. But that shows you right there in the top five, you have Alabama, Kentucky, and Arkansas with tough schedules based on last year's win and losses.
Jake, you'd have to just say if you play in the SEC West, you're going to have a very difficult schedule. But then you mentioned Alabama. Then they have to pick up Georgia who is probably the favorite of the East, in my opinion. We haven't picked anybody yet, but right now, first brush, I'd say that Georgia's the favorite team. And then they play Tennessee, who is also supposedly going to be a very improved team this year. So they have to play the West plus Georgia and Tennessee.
Now, I think your rotating opponents, as you mentioned earlier, with some of those teams having to play the East, Georgia has a disadvantage. They have to play Auburn every year, and then they have to play Alabama this year. That's going to be a tough schedule for Georgia. You talked about their non-conference schedule, of course, Georgia Tech, always a tough one for them. But Georgia, I think, with those two games, Alabama and Auburn, if I'm not mistaken, the Auburn game's on the road and Alabama's at home this year. So, it's going to be a tough one for Georgia as they also try to contend for the ace. But we'll continue breaking down the schedules and talking about who will go where. We'll also predict each SEC team. You don't want to miss it. Over the summer, the professor and I will break it down and predict each SEC team and how they will finish, and also each Power 5 conference. And then, of course, we'll give our national championship predictions, that final show that we'll have before the college football season gets set to begin, and that is this year in early September. So we'll continue to do that here at BunSports.com. Stay tuned for any breaking college football news. It's the off season, but anything can happen. We will be back next week with more coverage. For the professor, I'm Jacob Bunn. We'll see you then.